The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
Separating the signal from the noise. Welcome to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show for the first weekend of April. We're glad you're here. Got a great show planned for you, but it's just a sample of what we do on behalf of our clients at Annex Wealth Management. If you've ever had anybody say, hey, I saw this on social media and I think we should invest this way, we've got a great segment coming up. Investing advice from social media. Should you take it with a grain of salt? Spoiler alert, yes. Ask Annex is coming up toward the end of the show. The ramifications of inheriting money is all coming up today on the show and a whole lot more. I'm Danny Clayton in the studio. Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economist. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Beck is our chief growth officer sitting in for Dave this week. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. You know, that seems so intuitive that we wouldn't get our investment advice from social media, but if you say anything with enough conviction and confidence, somebody will listen and believe you. And, you know, we have worked with really smart clients, but they are susceptible to hearing different messages and things that they feel like are actionable that oftentimes really shouldn't be actionable. Mm-hmm. I think that's the separate the signal from the noise theme for the day, really. What are those things that, you know, we should be paying attention to that we might lean on to guide us? And what are all of those other sort of news items out there that just pop up? Remember, news has to sell headlines. Mm-hmm. So everything feels a little more superlative when it comes through a news outlet.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that this past week was a really good example of that. I would highlight two specific things, and there's obviously many more that we could get into. One was related to, say, the Institute of Supply Management's Manufacturing Index. That came out. To us, that's a signal. It is really some what is sometimes called soft data in the sense that it's based on a survey and it's just saying, hey, are things getting better or worse. It doesn't try to quantify the amount that it's getting better or worse. But what we do know is that for the manufacturing sector, over the last 16 months, they've effectively been in a recession. And we finally saw some glimmers of manufacturing coming out of hibernation. Now, whenever you get that headline number, then we need to dig into the details as to who was surveyed, what are some of the details of that. And it is pointing to some very, very early signs of strength. So while it was exciting to see, hey, they're back to growth, it's not like it's rip-roaring growth. It might be the slow acceleration. The second one was we had so many Federal Reserve officials come out this past week speaking. I think every day it was like four or five of them. On one of the days, we had like nine members of the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve presidents combined. There's 19 total. Nine of them were speaking, and it was a lot of dissonance. And they're all sharing their opinions, and we like to listen to what they're saying because what we're trying to figure out is how are they going to vote at the next meeting. So how are they looking at things currently, trying to anticipate what they might do when they meet next? And a lot of people have been thinking about, let's say, are they going to start cutting rates in June? One Federal Reserve official spoke, Neil Kashkari. He's from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And the equity markets on Thursday sold off pretty aggressively on his comments when he said, hey, we might not need to cut this year at all. Well, guess what? You probably really shouldn't listen to him because he's not a voter this year. Just because there's 19 people speaking, only 12 of them get to vote. And he's not one of the voting members, but yet people or the markets in general heard what he said and the markets sold off. So we're thinking that, you know, Chair Powell, he spoke and he was really consistent with his messaging saying it will likely be appropriate to cut this year. Really the wild card to us is now, will it be in June? Or will it be in September? Will it be three times or will it be two? And regardless of those two outcomes, we think they'll likely be cutting and the economy is strong enough that it doesn't need the cuts quite yet.
It doesn't need the cuts because we're still see some of this positive momentum data and some persistence in inflation a little higher than expected. That would be on the one side. That's why maybe there's no hurry to cut rates.
Exactly.
And everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is some significant negative weakness, softness, the real recession to show up. And that's the balance. I sometimes think there are times when all of those Fed governors you're talking about seem to line up and be signaling the same direction. Mm-hmm. And right now, they seem to be crossing up those signals all over the place.
That's right.
And there's part of me that thinks that that's intentional.
It is. Yeah. It's anytime this happens, I'm reminded of the movie Ghostbusters, where they warn about not crossing the beams, right? And it seems like they're crossing the beams here as far as the signals that they're beginning to send. And that can create all sorts of market volatility and all sorts of problems. Hopefully they don't end up blowing up the state puff marshmallow man or something like that, right? But there are these problems when they are out there talking, giving these cross signals. But I think that it's also healthy because there are these differences of opinion. Some of them do believe, just as you laid out, look, the economy is still, it looks like it has some decent momentum. Inflation, it's coming down, but maybe there's a bit of a setback. So why do we have to hurry? Then there's others who are worried that if we don't start cutting now, that problems are going to mount and then something might break. And I think that's really what they're worried about. And in fact, things have been breaking. Remember last year with Silicon Valley Bank, right? That kind of broke in terms, but the Federal Reserve was able to step in and use monetary policy duct tape to put things back together. And so I think that in terms of the argument for cutting rates sooner or more aggressively, to me, isn't really all that strong, as long as you trust that they would react quickly to things beginning to fall apart. And I do think that they will, because one of the things in the history of the Fed is that they have made lots of mistakes in the past, and they will make lots of mistakes in the future. But they do learn from the mistakes. And so then the problem, of course, is that the new mistakes are brand new, something that people haven't been expecting.
Try to make those mistakes be gentle and minor and easy enough to correct. And how quickly we forget about what looked like a mini banking crisis that seems so far in the rearview mirror at this point.
Dr. Brian Jacobson is our chief economist at Annex Wealth Management. Mark Beck is our chief growth officer. Mark, what other chief economist is going to haul out? Remember 3 weeks ago, he hauled out an author from the 17th century, and today, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he gets our genre of music of movies, doesn't he?
That's right. That is balance, ladies and gentlemen. That is fiduciary advice, comprehensive strategies, empowering education is how we roll at Annex Wealth Management. I think we'll be a great fit for you. The website, annexwealth.com. Click on that Get Started button. That's our Week in Review. It's powerful information. It's yours for free, always available on demand at the top of the hour, wherever you get your podcasts, also in the Axiom newsletter. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday, April 7th. Still to come, investing advice from social media and why it's not a good idea to pay attention to it. We're going to be right back on 92.5 Fox News. Good news, bad news. The good news, inflation today is nothing like it's been in the past few years. The bad news, lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. In fact, one recent study says investors still consider inflation their single biggest threat. If you're concerned how inflation might affect your legacy, your financial freedom, or your confidence, meet with the team at Annex Wealth Management. We're fee-only fiduciaries. We'll build a plan together and guide you on the steps to take to reach the retirement you desire. Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference. AnnexWealth.com. Welcome back. Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel packed with useful information, educational videos directly from Annex Wealth Management. And if you're a client of Annex, make sure you are active on the Client Center. You get exclusive content, including Annex University presentations. Much of our content is free for everybody, but our clients have access to a lot more. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson is our chief economist, and he's in the studio, along with Mark Beck, our chief growth officer.
Thanks, Danny. Brian, conversation we haven't had in a long time relates to valuations. We can learn a lot from paying attention to the valuation trends within the market. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we seeing right now in terms of signals? Are we seeing the soft landing everybody's been waiting for? Are we seeing the market valuations indicate that the possibility of recession is still ahead of us? What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's really these mixed signals, right? Which is why kind of the general theme is around separating the signal from the noise. There are some sectors and some companies within sectors that might have historically high market multiples. So if you look at like price to earnings, price to books, price to sales, price to cash flow, there's all these, it's always in the numerator. The thing that you're looking at is what's the price relative to some fundamental. And there are some of them where it's like, it might be a little stretched But the reason why it might be stretched is because the market is expecting big growth in those fundamentals. So if you see a stock or a sector with a high price to earnings ratio, always ask yourself, what is that earnings number? Is that based on trailing 12-month earnings? Is it forward, the kind of expected earnings? Is it earnings over the next 5 years? Because there are some areas where if the market is expecting a lot of growth, you might see a very high price to earnings ratio. And so really what it's just telling you is that to justify that stock price, it needs to grow its earnings into that price. Then there are others where it might be a very low price to earnings ratio, in which case it might represent more of what we would call a value opportunity. And when we're looking at the markets as a whole, it does seem like it is a hot mess of valuations and multiples out there. And so this hot mess of multiples means that we think that it's actually a really good time to be more selective about how you're investing. There's some areas like, let's say, smaller cap and mid cap companies, more value companies, things in industrials that we think maybe represent good value. Other areas, maybe it's a little stretched and is going to require a little bit of proof in the pudding that they can actually grow those earnings into those prices.
Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economist, Annex Wealth Management. Mark Beck, also on the show, our chief growth officer. Still to come, ask Annex. Also, the ramifications of inheriting money. And should you trust investing and planning advice from social media? We're going to tackle that next. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
Like it or not, you are a media-consuming machine, chased all day by headlines, texts, emails, on the TV, the computer, the phone, even your smartwatch. News about market volatility and uncertainty could lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. No surprise, Americans report increased stress about their investment and retirement plans. This isn't a time to be frozen in place. Take action. Put Annex Wealth Management on your side. Build a plan that will help cut through the noise. We'll provide comprehensive investment and retirement guidance that includes tax and estate planning. Let Annex do a deep dive on your portfolio, offer unbiased advice with Wealthmetric, and work to create a solid plan for you and your family. Turn down the media roar. Dial up the planning. Head to AnnexWealth.com and click the Get Started button. It takes only a couple of minutes. Set your own appointment. In person or online, it's time to take action and know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management, AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Ryan Van Blarkum is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me.
One-third of adults under 30 regularly scroll TikTok for news. That's a 255% increase since 2020. The TikTok increase is taking place across all age demographics, mm-hmm. though, not just younger Americans. In fact, recent Forbes Advisor survey found 79% of members from millennial and Gen Z generations have gotten financial advice mm-hmm. from social media. Apologize up front, Ryan. I chose you for this segment because I assumed you were a TikTok user. You are not.
I am not. And it's funny because you know when I hear that, it brings me back to when my siblings and I were kids. My dad would sarcastically say, you should believe everything you read on the internet. Well, you know, now, years later, we as a society have really adopted the digital platform as our main source to get all those forms and news updates and things like that. To your question, though, I disagree with that. You know, what's the old saying? If everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you? Now, I'm not implying that investing in stocks or bonds is like jumping off a bridge. However, I believe that same principle applies here. When you are investing, it's important to understand a few things. What's your time horizon? How long until you need those funds? Is it 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? This is a major component for how you should have your funds allocated, if even invested at all. Next would be, what's your risk tolerance versus risk capacities? Essentially, what are you comfortable with versus what makes the most sense? Not everyone has the same attitude towards risk, and it's another reason why no one should immediately assume those investments are right for them. And then finally, what are your liquidity needs? Do you have ample emergency funds? That would be 3 to 6 months of non-discretionary money. That's important because what if you get sick? What if you lost your job? Are you able to pay for basic necessities? When you start to ask these questions, you start to poke holes in that line of thinking, showing that not every investment is a perfect match for each individual.
So I got a list of various investing and financial planning advice that comes from social media. Curious to see what you think based on your training, your experience. First advice somebody might see on TikTok or some other form of social media, invest in the same stocks as the rich and famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest takeaway when looking to mimic the past is that past performance does not guarantee future results, period. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even if historically the investments that John Doe, for example, had picked did very well. That does not mean those same companies will meet the same expectations moving forward. I was actually reading an article that said the average TikTok video was roughly 38 seconds. Now imagine you have, whether it's your retirement funds, fund money, or just some other form of discretionary money, to make investment-altering decisions based off a 38-second video, to me personally, does not seem like a good idea. I would highly encourage others to do their own research outside of TikTok or work with a financial professional such as Annex.
Ryan Van Blarkum is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Wiser than most, he stays off TikTok. We're talking about the increase in people using social media for investment and retirement planning advice. Another thing you're going to run across on social media is the way to, quote, get rich quick.
This one especially concerns me because, quite honestly, you see these kinds of schemes all over the place. I'm sure we've all seen the ads for, if you take this pill, you'll lose 5 pounds in a week. You know, that sounds great, but it's not always the case. I may not have TikTok, but I am familiar with it to understand that videos like this like to oversimplify the value of hard work and perseverance. Building wealth is all about doing the little things time and time again. It's taking that 1% of your raise each year and using it to increase your 401k contributions, or understanding wants versus needs when we're shopping online. Where this becomes so difficult and why I feel people tend to fall victim to these get-rich-quick schemes so easily is that spending money has never been more convenient than it is today. We've all been there. You're on Amazon, you just bought something for 20 or 30 bucks, and you say to yourself, did I really need that? Was that a want or need? You develop buyer's remorse. Where this ties together is that when we get in the habit of spending money on miscellaneous items, we feel like we're strapped for cash and then turn to those get-rich-quick schemes, as you mentioned, in hopes of getting out of that vicious spending cycle. Moral of the story, do the little things. And when you see some lucrative investments, we all like to remind people is if it seems too good to be true, then it probably is.
There's a couple more. They're incredibly unrealistic. I'll just rattle them off. If you start an S corporation, you don't have to pay taxes. The Federal Reserve has a secret $1 million bank account for every American citizen. Anyone can teach themselves how to day trade and be successful at it. Buying into newer cryptocurrencies early will make you rich. This is the kind of stuff that you, maybe as a parent or a grandparent, have to combat, because the younger generation is kind of falling for this. In fact, I just saw this thing. One of the TikTok latest trends is the silent depression. And they want to explain why Americans feel so bad about financial standing, even though we're in pretty good shape. Housing, transportation, food, increasing share of Americans take home pay. But economists say that doesn't make any sense at all. So Ryan, our bottom line advice from social media, what are you saying?
Bottom line, I would say perform your due diligence. Take the time to gather information from multiple sources, you know, not just TikTok. Truly understand the kind of investments you're getting yourself into and the potential ramifications of them. You know, next would be credible sources. Any person can put a video on TikTok talking about the investment market and say they're a money expert or budget specialist. You know, speak with a fee-only fiduciary like Annex who deals with these kinds of things every single day. And then finally, do the little things consistently. Try to increase your 401k contributions annually. You know, max that Roth IRA or build up that emergency fund. There are no shortcuts when it comes to success.
Ryan Van Blarkum, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Danny.
At Annex Wealth Management, we believe every portfolio tells a story. After all, we've analyzed thousands. Some reflect diligence and fortitude. Others, a mishmash of overlapping investments. When Annex reviews your portfolio, we spot what works, what might not, and then provide unbiased suggestions free from sales commissions. Every portfolio tells a story. Let's work on yours. Investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. As a fee-only fiduciary, that's our story. Head to AnnexWealth.com.
Time for Ask Annex. Matt Morsey, Investment Team Manager, CFP's in the studio. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Danny.
And Fred Coleman, CFP and a Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Hello to you.
Hi, Danny.
Question number one on Ask Annex. My son recently took a new job with a 401k plan without a match. He had a 6% match at his previous job and rolled that 401k into an IRA. Does it still make sense to put money into his new company's no-match 401k?
Yeah, this is a great example that all 401ks aren't created equal. Whether that's the ability to match, some don't offer that, some have poor investment options. So when we give this general advice, like make sure you get your 401k match, it's a good reminder that sometimes that's not available. But there's still two benefits of 401ks that I think make them very attractive. The first is the tax benefits. If he's in his 20s or 30s, having access to a Roth 401k where he can put that amount of money into that after-tax bucket and let it grow tax-free, that's a huge benefit. It's also a great place for those that are in a higher tax bracket because you can invest in that traditional 401k and still get those tax deductions. The other aspect is just the automatic investing. There's something powerful about being able to invest without seeing that money actually hit your bank account. But IRAs also have those same features as well. So that's something that I would explore because you can get some additional investment options as well. And then lastly, if your employer does have a suggestion box, I would say put a little note in there that says 401k match.
I think it's just a wonderful opportunity to sit down at Annex with our fantastic wealth managers and financial planning team and see what's right for them.
Isn't that a total mom thing, writing for the son?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ask Annex question number two. Matt recently said he doesn't like individual stocks in HSA. Care to elaborate on that? I don't know if he said Matt with that your name that way, but
yeah, fundamentally, I don't like that idea. I think HSAs is an area not to speculate, but to have a well thought out portfolio to reach a specific end goal in mind. From that perspective, it's going to be funding, you know, healthcare expenses later on in life. From that standpoint, a diversified portfolio that has the correct risk tolerance for you for the amount of time that it's going to take for you to get to that spot where you're going to need those assets, I think makes the most amount of sense. Now, if you have a professional who's managing that for you on your behalf and there's the thought out portfolio, it knows your correct risk level you should be taking, and each piece in there has a specific goal to the end of what that portfolio is trying to do, that's very different. But if it's picking one or two stocks that you just like or that you think might do well or that you're speculating on, I think there's better places to do that, such as a taxable brokerage account would be the place that I would go to do that. Ultimately, again, from an HSA standpoint, I want to get the best return I possibly can while minimizing risk for that time frame that I'm going to need to invest that in to get that end goal of providing for my healthcare later on in life. For myself, I keep it very, very simple. The HSA that my wife has access to, we use a target date fund because of the investment options that are there. I really just have it timed out to the time that we're going to potentially retire and that we're going to start to need to draw on those assets. And I just really want to keep it simple and just invest over time. Your dollar cost averaging in as you're putting contributions into that HSA, so it smooths that out even more. But I'm really trying to hit what my end goal for those assets are.
It's Ask Annex. Got a question for us? You head to our website, annexwealth.com. Look for the Ask button. If we can help you, click that Get Started button. We'd love to do that and help you out for 2024 and beyond. Question three on Ask Annex. If I'm going to continue to work past 65, do I need to consider Medicare?
You know, that's a little bit of a complex question, but if you're self-employed, then absolutely, because I know you're paying an arm and a leg for healthcare, so you definitely should sign up for Medicare. For this question, I'm going to assume that you're not self-employed and you plan to work past 65. There's different aspects of Medicare. So Part A is hospital insurance. You can choose to sign up for that 3 months before you turn 65, even if you plan on still working. For Part B, you can wait until you or your spouse stop working or you lose health insurance, and then you won't pay that late enrollment penalty given that you're still covered. Keep in mind, once you stop working, there's going to be a 8-month special enrollment period for Part A, or if you just need to add Part B. And with that special enrollment period, when it starts, you won't have to pay any type of late enrollment penalty. Lastly, if you do sign up for Medicare while you're still working, keep in mind that you cannot also contribute to a HSA.
Final question on Ask Annex. I'm paying more for gas. Is there a threat to spending?
Oh, for sure. And I think gas prices is one of the things that we are most observant on. You know, from a small talk perspective, you know, we talk to people, weather is generally the first thing people talk about. And if gas prices are going up, that's the second thing. So it really has a big element in terms of what our mindset is, in terms of what we can do with the finances that we have available to us. It hits certain milestones. Let's say gas goes above $4. We talk about it a lot. We probably start making some changes to our budget. We go out to eat less. We don't buy something else because we just went and took our truck or our SUV and we had to pay $75 or $100 to fill that tank up. That is a huge impact on the things that we do. So the higher that goes, the less we're going to spend on other things. And it's really going to change, you know, our monthly spending.
Yeah, and a great financial plan is always going to take that into consideration. It's always going to raise your expense level with inflation as you go along. Now, like Matt said, taking more money and spending it towards gas, hey, maybe now you can't go out to the movies as much. So it does affect your plan for sure.
We all commute. So do you have those special places that you know are always better prices?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then there's the highway robbers, too. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. Right off. Yeah. Right when you get off, it's so much higher than it is something 3 blocks away.
Yep. That's Ask Annex. Fred Coleman's a CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks.
Thanks, Danny.
Matt Moore is the investment team manager and a CFP at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Good news, bad news. The good news, inflation today is nothing like it's been in the past few years. The bad news, lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. Inflation only records the size of price increases. When it goes down, prices are still higher than they were before. In fact, a recent study showed investors still consider inflation their single biggest threat to their investment and retirement plans. We don't blame you if you're concerned about how inflation might affect your legacy, your financial freedom, or your confidence. It's time to meet with the team at Annex Wealth Management for investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Annex is a fee-only fiduciary. We'll review what you own. We'll work together to build a plan that's right for you and your family. And we'll guide you on your way to achieving the kind of retirement you desire. Whatever's kickstarting your questions, market volatility, global unrest, an upcoming presidential election, or stubborn inflation, it's time to know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development at Annex Wealth Management, also a CFP, CDFA, and a wealth manager. Welcome back.
Hi.
Many of us are acquainted with the phrase prenup or prenuptial. When some famous couple divorces, you'll hear people ask, did they sign a prenup? But prenups and even postnups are worth discussing in certain circumstances, and that's what we're going to do with Deanne Phillips. And in fact, as we list her title, she is a CDFA, and can you explain that?
Certainly. So financial planners, and I am a CFP, we have dozens of CFPs on staff at Annex. Their role is to help people achieve their financial goals regardless of whether they're divorcing or happily married. Now, conversely, accountants, so CPAs, typically confine themselves to examining the details of a present-day scenario. But if called upon to participate in a divorce proceeding, they might calculate the taxes on dividing property combined with the effect of child support, spousal support, over a very short period of time. But those accountants don't typically project further into the future. So, to best meet the needs of a divorcing client, a blend of those two ideologies is really needed. And that is what a CDFA or Certified Divorce Financial Analyst is. That role is to help both client and lawyer understand how the financial decisions made today will impact the client's financial future. And based on certain assumptions, of course, they take a look at the whole picture.
So, what got my attention was an article titled, Women, Listen Up. If you aren't going to be the high-earning spouse in a marriage, you're going to want to consider prenuptial or postnuptial agreements. Don't want to stereotype. There are stay-at-home dads.
Right. Many people jump to the conclusion that if a prenup is discussed, it means that someone with substantial assets is trying to keep the spouse from getting anything if they split. And this is really a fallacy in that that's really about making sure that if there's a split, both parties are satisfied potentially, with the outcome based on perhaps a disproportionate allocation of assets when the marriage begins. But actually, it could be debt that one person comes to the marriage with or assets. This is the time before the marriage that the non-moneyed spouse really has to negotiate their package, particularly important for those in work roles where one earns money and one might act as a CEO of the household, let's say. So stay-at-home parents, for example, while that is traditionally a woman who stays at home. Yes, Danny, it could be a man. And it certainly was in my personal household. I went to work full time and he was the glue in the household for the kiddo.
Is this true? Stay-at-home spouses who have been in marriage after 10, 15, or 25 years have essentially given up their earning power.
Well, the problem is when you truncate your career in the workforce for a stay-at-home career, it's hard to put a monetary value on that. So there are many variables that impact if a spouse can return to a career, especially as we all age. Remember, 1/4 of divorces are over the age of 50. They're called gray divorces.
Prenups, obviously, before marriage takes place. Is a postnup something that goes into place when a spouse decides to stay home? And why is that important?
Yeah, but again, it's hard to demonstrate monetarily what their lifestyle is and why they can't earn any more. Remember that a marriage is, among many other things, a financial contract. So entering into it with a financial understanding can potentially help down the road if a split happens and emotions engage, not to mention the cost of divorce. And that can add up if you're especially trying to determine after the fact what the lifestyle would be returning to and why they can't go back to their career. Usually for postnups to be valid, most parties must show that they're getting something out of the agreement and that neither party is at a disadvantage. So postnups might be harder to enforce, particularly in community property or marital property states.
What should be in a prenup or a postnup?
Well, the biggest concerns are property division, spousal support, and business interests that come to mind. Equitable doesn't mean equal in most states. So while it is about the split if a marriage splits, it's also addressing if either has substantial debt like student loans, or maybe one of them is expecting a large inheritance or owns a business.
It's complicated. How would Annex help navigate this process if it was needed?
Well, we aren't a law firm, so we don't draft the documents, but certainly we can make referrals to attorneys who can draft for our clients. And as my CDFA role, I will sit with anyone finding themselves in the middle or end of a splitting process and review the process itself, you know, educate them on that, work with them and their wealth manager here at Annex on how they will look coming out of the split, so on the other side of divorce. Like any transition, there are uncertainties that our planning software and advisors can help address.
Let's not assume everybody marries young. Is this more important for second marriages?
Yeah. Now, often we see more seasoned clients deciding to marry, and sometimes they have children from previous marriages, and they want to protect those kids and protect those children's inheritance, as well as take care of their new spouse. This can require some nuanced estate planning specifics in this area. And this is important to many of our clients, and that's why we have several estate planning attorneys on staff here at Annex as well. Again, we don't draft the estate planning documents, but we educate. We help them on the decisioning process so that the client's wishes are met and their children from a previous marriage aren't accidentally disinherited, for example.
Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development at Annex Wealth Management, also a wealth manager, CFP, and a CDFA. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Market volatility, global issues, inflation, still more than a few headwinds this year. That's probably why Americans feel uncertain about their financial futures. Boomers, not much room for error. Gen X might need more than a 401k. And for millennials, it's time to get real about saving and investing. Talk to Annex Wealth Management. Build security with a partner on your side for unbiased advice. You may need more than investments. That's why Annex delivers tax and estate planning. There's an Annex plan personalized for you. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. It's a loss when someone passes, but when they took the time to do things correctly with a well-constructed estate plan, it makes distribution of assets far easier. And if you're on the list for some of those assets, there are right and wrong things to do. And you also need to manage your expectations. Alec Durand is an estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Got experience in all of this. Hey, Alec.
Hey, Danny.
We're going to cover key aspects of inheriting money as well as covering the ramifications like taxes, the need to be patient, and the expectation there might be some surprises in store, right?
There can be, especially if you're unprepared.
First thing to determine is what you're inheriting. Is it cash, investments, real estate, or IRAs, 401ks? Why does that matter?
It matters because different assets are treated differently, particularly for tax purposes. For example, retirement accounts like IRAs and 401ks are subject to something called the Secure Act, and other assets, depending on certain circumstances, could be entitled to step up or step down in basis.
One thing you can be sure of, there are tax ramifications to inheriting money. This term, basic adjustment at death, what does that mean?
So a basis adjustment means that the value of an inherited asset is either going to be stepped up or stepped down in value as of the date of death of the person leaving you that asset, depending on the type of asset it is. Particularly things like cash accounts, stocks, and real estate can be adjusted based on whether the person that passed away had that asset appreciate or depreciate in value during the course of their ownership of the property.
Is that the same deal with like an IRA?
No. IRAs are typically not entitled to an adjustment in basis. And as I alluded to earlier, IRAs are subject to the Secure Act. So there's different rules regarding inheriting those assets depending on your relationship to the person that left you the asset. For example, most non-spouse beneficiaries of IRAs are going to be subject to the 10-year rule under the Secure Act, which means that they are going to have 10 years or December 31st on the 10th year after the date of death of the person passing away to completely liquidate their inherited account.
The ramifications of inheriting money. We're talking with Alec Durand, an estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Next question, when inheriting money, how are you inheriting? There's three ways. There's outright, there's jointly, and then there's in a trust. Let's talk about outright.
From a conceptual standpoint, that's probably the most simple way to inherit an asset. And it's when someone just leaves you individually as the inheriting person. So they named you on the payable on death of a bank account or something like that. And what it means is that once you obtain possession of the asset, you own it individually. You can do whatever you want with the asset. It's yours.
How about jointly?
It's somewhat similar, but it just means that you don't have sole ownership of that asset. It's most common in the real estate scenario. So grandma or grandpa passes away and leaves you joint ownership of a rental cabin or a vacation property. So you just need to be cognizant of the fact that you don't wholly own that property. And depending on how well the person laid out their estate plan, there could be certain restrictions on what you can do with your ownership share of that property.
And then there's inheriting money within a trust.
Generally, when you inherit money in a trust, it's an irrevocable trust, meaning that you can't go back and change the terms of that trust. So you need to be aware that there could be restrictions left under the terms of that trust on what you can do with that property, whether you can divest yourself of it and when and if you're going to get control of that property.
We see a lot of this at Annex Wealth Management, the ramifications of inheriting money. We can offer a couple suggestions. The one, and this is just common sense, don't spend it before you get it.
Absolutely. Estate administrations, whether there's a trust involved or whether it's a will-based estate plan or whether there's no estate plan in place, administrations take time. There's going to be wrinkles that pop up in any situation. There's also going to be debts and expenses that have to get paid as well as any applicable estate taxes. The figure that you see on a balance sheet might not always be the figure that you're going to end up inheriting. So it's important to remember to keep a clear head and make decisions only after you've actually received the inheritance, not before.
And then keep in mind, Uncle Sam's going to be come knocking.
Right. If there's any applicable estate taxes, that could take a hit on it. And also, depending on the asset that you inherit, you could actually owe income taxes. The best example is, you know, a traditional IRA or a 401k. Distributions from those assets are ordinary income. So you will have to pay income taxes based on those distributions. And you need to be aware of that when you're inheriting them.
And our final step is be prepared to deal with your inheritance as part of a trust that will be a little bit more controlled.
It can be. Typically, you know, estate taxes are going to be treated the same way, whether you're inheriting something outright or in a trust. The difference becomes of whether the assets are going to accumulate inside the trust or whether they're going to be distributed to you outright. It can affect whether there's going to be income taxes at a trust level or at your personal level. Here you also need to be aware of any restrictions placed on that trust. You know, if someone else is going to be the trustee, you have to be willing and prepared to work with that trustee in order to get access to your inheritance.
Ramifications of inheriting money. Alec Durand is an estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good news, bad news. The good news, inflation today is nothing like it's been in the past few years. The bad news, lower inflation doesn't mean lower prices. In fact, one recent study says investors still consider inflation their single biggest threat. If you're concerned how inflation might affect your legacy, your financial freedom, or your confidence, meet with the team at Annex Wealth Management. We're fee-only fiduciaries. We'll build a plan together and guide you on the steps to take to reach the retirement you desire. Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference. AnnexWealth.com. Back on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management, Southwest Florida. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Danny.
Hey, we got to talk about market timing versus long-term investing. Huge difference. But spoiler alert, most wise people, including the pros at Annex, are going to suggest long-term investing, far better move, but it's worth the discussion. We'll start it with a definition. Robert, what is the definition of market timing?
They make great bar stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice, right.
Market timing is somebody that can pick the tops, sell the tops, and buy the bottoms. And Danny, you'll have a very short career in this industry if you think you're a market timer.
Well, wouldn't it be more of somebody that thinks they can find the tops and bottoms?
Our chief investment strategist, Todd Void, likes to say that tops are a process and bottoms are a process. You know, they usually get retested once or twice, and, you know, then the market will move in the other direction. I mean, not always, but most of the time you see patterns developing. And if you think you're going to base your career off that, I've got some swampland here in Southwest Florida for you to buy.
There's enough. So regular listeners, yes, of our show know that we talk about market timing, but to do it correctly, you got to be right twice. Know when to get out, and you got to figure out when to get in. And have you seen anybody that's been able to do that? I'm sure there are some.
There are some people that deploy a strategy, a tranche strategy, where they'll break their account into three pieces. They'll buy a piece, and then they'll put a second tranche in, and then they'll put the third tranche in. I have had some people have some success with that, and we do some of that here at Annex. So I'm very familiar with it. I worked at a broker-dealer before, and I was able to watch a lot of different investors. Again, I'll go back to the first question. What's market timing? It makes for a great bar story because it doesn't happen very often. And then these market timers never tell you the 100 times they were wrong or the 99 times. They'll tell you about the one time they were right. It's like the big fish story here in Southwest Florida.
Hey, let's flip it. On the flip side, what's the definition of long-term investing?
This is my definition personally. The way I look at long-term things, they're have-to-haves in my life. I really was a big fan of Apple, Amazon. These things that I use a lot. I really liked Lululemon when it first came out because I work out a lot and I wear a lot of their clothes. I look at those being long-term investments because they really solve an issue. Who doesn't get Amazon packages? And just look at what a behemoth Amazon has become. So somebody says to me, long-term investment, I think of things that you have to have, not things that you want to have.
Okay. Here's another term that we hear, time in market versus market timing.
Time in market could be anything, right? I trade some futures once in a while, and I might be in the market 30 seconds, a minute, 3 minutes, but that's very, very rare and far between. My bulk of my wealth is sitting in the market in things that I am very, very happy to own. And if I ever look at something, Danny, and you know, or if their story has changed and they're not solving a issue for me, or I've fallen out of favor, that's when you might be leaving that certain stock or investment.
It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management here in Southwest Florida. When somebody's got a long-term view, they reap the benefits of what is called dollar cost averaging. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. Dollar cost averaging, actually love this. Let's take your 401k, right? Every pay period, some money is taken out, put into your 401k. Every single pay period, the same amount is invested. And over the course of a year, if you get paid biweekly, that's 26 investments. You're buying the same dollar amount of whatever investments you're in. So over the course of that year, take the average price 26 times, and that is your dollar cost average for the year. It's a great way to be invested, and we highly, highly recommend all of our clients, if they're working, max out that 401k plan if you have it.
If somebody's really got the itch to do a little bit of market timing, I've heard of them having just a small little pocket of investment capital, call it a hobby stock, maybe a sandbox or something. They can trade in and out, but they leave the big stuff to do over time. You good with that?
I'm very good with that. Actually, it kind of helps us because then a lot of these people playing with these hobby stocks go, this isn't so easy, you know? Some of them have success and some of them have failure. And I always talk to our clients that do this and say, that's tuition. Right? Because you're learning. You never learn that much from your winners. You learn a lot from your losers. And the first thing you learn is, I don't want that feeling again. It's okay to do it. I just wouldn't do it with the bulk of your net worth.
That's good stuff. Robert Chastain, Branch Director, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management, Southwest Florida. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Quick break. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about the silver lining if you put off retirement. That's coming up on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Headlines, texts, emails, the TV, the computer, the phone, even your smartwatch, every day. Market volatility can lead to anxiety and planning paralysis. No surprise, Americans report being stressed about their investment and retirement plans. Turn down the media roar. Dial up the planning. Put Annex Wealth Management on your side for investment and retirement guidance that includes tax and estate planning. Head to AnnexWealth.com. Click the Get Started button. Know the difference with a fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Amy Bremer, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management, joins us. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Danny.
You know, it is hard to keep up, folks. During the pandemic, many chose early retirement. Now, if that wasn't you, but boy, did that sound good. You might have had a date penciled in on the calendar for when you wanted to retire. But then markets got volatile. You started thinking of maybe waiting a little longer. Don't be bummed about that. There is a silver lining. We've got a list of reasons why it might not be so terrible to delay retirement. And you wouldn't be alone. But 40% of workers are planning to push retirement later in life due to inflation. And that's according to a recent study by the Nationwide Retirement Institute. Amy, what are the potential positives?
Thanks, Danny. First positive is you give yourself more time to save and invest.
Right. We've talked often about not timing the market, but time in the market.
In the market, absolutely. And most retirees feel that once they hit that magic number of $1 million, they're ready to retire. But unfortunately for most Americans, they're nowhere near that number. Vanguard put out a survey earlier this year, and it said most folks who are between the ages of 45 and 54 have around a 61,000. Mm. And then the folks that are aged 55 to 64 have around 90,000. That's nowhere near that magic number. So by working longer, it gives you more time to earn income and live off that income, save and invest for your future retirement.
Delaying retirement. The second point is you can delay Social Security. And as we know, if you wait longer, you get more.
That's exactly correct. So as much as you are able to start collecting Social Security at age 62, that's not always the best decision for most folks. You have a full retirement age, which allows you to start collecting either at 66 in some months or age 67 for most folks. But the longer you wait to take Social Security, it continues to grow. So if you're still working at your job and living off of your income, kind of keeping that Social Security on the shelf, that's still growing. And the latest you can take it is at age 70.
You know, it's hard for us to do that though, right? Remember that study with the kids, they give them one marshmallow.
Yes.
But if they waited 15 minutes, they could have two.
I failed that test. I did it. It's terrible. I have no patience.
But you know, there's an actual math behind it, right? And when I went through my plan at Annex, I wanted Social Security at 62, and I was given great reasons why not to do that.
Yeah. And part of it is it's better off to wait in your specific financial plan. Everyone has their own financial plan based on their income, their spending levels. And for some folks, it makes sense to start at 62. For some people, it doesn't.
Yeah. Third reason for choosing to delay retirement, you like what you do.
Danny, I cannot tell you how many folks that I work with here at Annex who I am begging for them to retire. They love their jobs. They love getting up in the morning. They're passionate about what they do. They got a sense of purpose. And a lot of folks they don't know what they would do if they didn't work. So if you're happy in your job and you love what you're doing, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Amen. We're with Amy Bremer, wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Don't be too disappointed if you put off retirement in light of inflation and the economy. Another reason would be?
You have work benefits that end when you retire. Work benefits, things like 401k, Roth, and traditional with a company match. This is free money, people. Another option that you get are health benefits, dental benefits, vision benefits. Medicare covers health if you're age 65, but there's no dental or vision. And a lot of times if you retire before the age of 65, you're on the hook for your own medical insurance, in addition to dental and vision like everybody else.
And that ain't cheap.
No, sorry about. On the Affordable Care Act exchanges, you may qualify for some subsidies, but a lot of people don't.
Putting off retirement, not ideal, but there are some silver linings. Our last reason is you can wait out inflation.
Inflation. I feel like that's a four-letter word. Continuing to work and living off of that paycheck and that income, it helps to lessen the blow that inflation is causing right now.
Would it have been great to take early retirement? Yeah, maybe if you could swing it. But if you're putting off retirement because of what's going on, there are some silver linings that we just covered. What's our bottom line, really?
Bottom line is that there's no magic formula for retirement. Retirement is an individual decision based on individual data points that are specific just to you. So that's the benefit of working with a certified financial planner here at Annex to help guide you through those decisions and make sure that you're choosing an informed path.
Maybe, folks, you didn't have the right plan in the first place. Maybe you could retire with a plan built from a fee-only fiduciary. For investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, know the difference? Our website is annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Amy Bremer, wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Danny.
At Annex Wealth Management, we believe every portfolio tells a story. After all, we've analyzed thousands.
Some reflect diligence and fortitude, others a mishmash of overlapping investments. When Annex reviews your portfolio, we spot what works, what might not, and then provide unbiased suggestions free from sales commissions. Every portfolio tells a story. Let's work on yours. Investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. As a fee-only fiduciary, that's our story. Head to annexwealth.com.
We're back, always on demand. This show available as a podcast at the top of the hour. And remember, we provide financial planning at every level. That's Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, Annex Ignite. Dr. Brian Jacobson is our chief economist at Annex Wealth Management, part of the show today, along with Mark Beck, our chief growth officer.
You know, Brian, we're fortunate to work with a lot of clients who are very successful, you know, very intelligent people. And by and large, what they're looking for from us is really someone to outsource, you know, the investment management and the financial and tax planning, the estate planning coordination. They want somebody who's leading the household from that perspective, and they want to outsource that to us, and which is great. But many people, you know, they do still keep a hand sort of on some aspect of investments, right? They maybe like to have a trading account and be a little speculative there, which is nothing wrong with that. It's kind of fun sometimes, right? And, you know, over the last, I don't know how many years, this idea of like a meme stock, whatever that word really means, but it's a meme stock, like these stocks that come through social media where they're being promoted in some way. And, you know, sometimes there's like a flash in the pan, you know, that kind of thing. People, you know, they pay attention to that and they kind of ask us about them once in a while.
Yeah, they oftentimes ask, you know, is there some stake behind that sizzle or not, right? And I think the meme stocks, you're right, it started during like COVID where people were stuck at home, they were trading, doing some speculations, and then in these online forums, Reddit was a big source of these as far as the communications going on, people kind of having this community, the sense of community by investing together, trying to push prices one way or the other. And, you know, the idea of a meme, it actually dates back to like 1976. There was a book written about this topic called The Selfish Gene, where it talked about cultural units and how they're transmitted through imitation, right? By mimicking others. And that's where meme comes from, is the idea of mimicking. So you're not really looking at the fundamentals or the substance. You're just looking at what are other people doing, and you're mimicking their behavior. Maybe they're holding themselves out to say, hey, I just made, you know, X millions of dollars on my trading account, and people want to emulate that. And so they try to mimic it. And this happens all over the place. And sometimes those memes can become fads where it gets some momentum going, but then it fizzles out really quickly. But some memes can actually become longer term trends where it starts as something that's kind of just people not paying attention to the substance, but then it comes to find out, oh, there's actually something of substance there. And that's the thing that we'd like to talk to the clients about, is what's the substance? What is the thing that might help define whether or not there is value in what you're investing in? Like you said, maybe it's just purely speculative. And there's an entire city and a couple cities that are built on speculation, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of Las Vegas and maybe, you know, a few other places it seems to be spreading. We are focused on that longer term investing and trying to find out, not necessarily to avoid the meme stocks, because maybe there is some substance there, but is to try to provide that type of perspective.
Yeah, let's not conflate gambling and investing, right? True. Two different things. Yep. But, you know, that's the idea of speculation. And in business school, this was known as the greater fool theory.
Oh, yes.
Right. And I would say, to a large extent, you can take all of what you see in the crypto world and assign it to the greater fool theory, which really essentially goes like this. The value of something is really prescribed by the value for that which I can sell it. Yes. So I own it. I paid whatever, $100. I'm just hoping you're going to pay $110. Neither of us can determine what its value is, other than you are hoping to pay $110 and sell it to Danny for $120.
That's right.
Right?
Hey,
and then it just continues.
He's like, don't suck me, and I'm smarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a client, right? So why would that happen?
He doesn't want these sorts of things, right? So, you know, I also have been in situations where, you know, people have done some of this type of speculative investing and they see this high water mark and they think to themselves, it was here. It was at this value at one point, and it's starting to trickle down, and they're waiting for that maximum that they saw at one point. They are not going to sell this position until it's back to its high water mark.
Yeah.
And especially in those speculative or meme stock types of scenarios, it may never be back there, right?
That's right.
So sometimes you've got to think, well, okay, I paid X for it and it's worth more than that. Yes, I saw it at a higher value than that, but maybe it's time to count
my chickens. Your money and go. Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. Where that mental accounting or that anchoring is what that's called, right? Whatever you bought it at, you might be like, I'm just going to hold on to it until I recoup my losses. Well, guess what? You might not recoup those losses. You should view that as a sunk cost, right? As far as it's in the past, just is it a good investment now? Why do you own it, right? What do you own? Why do you own it? And what price did you pay? Now, the price that you paid is about what's the value, the transaction costs, all that. But on a going forward basis, is it likely to keep going up in value or not? And that's the key thing. It's not about recouping losses. It's always about looking to the future, not to the past.
Yeah, what's the catalyst for future growth? I think that's important. You're highlighting the importance of the hold decision. You know, in investing, we can always think about buy and sell, but it's very important on a consistent basis to make a hold decision. Do I still want this investment in my portfolio?
Brian Jacobson, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Mark Beck, thanks for jumping in.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Folks, we get it. You are busy. You're slammed. Too much going on. Can we lighten the load when it comes to investment and retirement planning? You do you, and we're going to join you as a fiduciary partner. Thanks for listening. See you next Sunday at noon. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.